It is good to be here. I saw the program change several times for various reasons, and I finally took this spot. I was assigned this spot, and I wondered why, and I finally came to find out why. I pastor a church that now is up to about 25, and a lot of those are senior citizens. They love me, and I appreciate it, but they just don't have the heart to leave. And I'm used to pastoring them, but on Sunday evenings, many of them at least, are very drowsy, and they doze along. And so since I'm already used to it, I think that's the reason I took this spot. But whatever spot I have, I'm glad to be here. And it's a joy. I look forward to this. All year I look forward to being here. Because, you know, whether you realize it or not, you don't run into a lot of people who have very much the same beliefs that we have these days. Seems like more and more people are changing, and they say, "You still do that?" Well, yes, we still do. And so it's good to get here and be among friends and see some of the things that are going on. I appreciate it so much. I want to give you an invitation while I'm here to come to our church, Wayside Baptist Church in Greenville. We're going to be having a Bible conference on Saturday, September the 26th of this year. The Bible conference is going to be a Bible conference that deals, and I've asked Brother Waite to do this, and he's going to be dealing with the text and many of the doctrinal problems with critical text. And a lot of people misunderstand. They think, well, these other versions are just easy to read. Well, they have that opinion. We won't go into all that. You've heard that explained by some very capable people. But what they don't realize is how many doctrinal changes are in those versions that some of them are hook, line, and sinker supporting. And Greenville, South Carolina has been called the Bible Belt. And some have even gone to say that it's the buckle on the Bible Belt. Well, it may be the buckle, but it's sure tarnished. I just have to say that Greenville isn't standing very, very tall in the matter of Scripture, and I'm very sorry about that. But we hope you'll come. The conference will be from 1 p.m. until 6 p.m. on Saturday, September the 26th. If you can, we would be so glad if you would come. I'm in the process. I'm trying to find some acceptable rooms that will be at a little bit more affordable rate. Unfortunately, we live in an area where it's hard to negotiate, especially in the fall of the year. People are wanting to go see leaves and all that sort of thing, and it's hard to get a group rate, but we're trying to get that done. And the Dean Bergen Society will be putting out some things in the next couple of weeks, I'm sure, at least on the website, about some places where you might want to consider getting a room. We were going to have a debate. Now, I was accused of having Dr. Waite putting me up to this, but Dr. Waite didn't put me up to it. His wife puts me up sometimes. She gets me into things I don't watch, but Dr. Waite didn't suggest this. I said, you know, I felt like that we needed to have a good lively debate on the issue of the critical text. I said, you know, the doctrinal errors in that thing are just unbelievable, and people just don't realize that. And if someone could debate the issues, people could reach their own conclusions, and so I think it would be a very helpful thing. So I contacted Dr. Wade, and I said, brother, would you consider coming and being part of a debate, and the issue being resolved? There are doctrinal errors in the critical text, and I would like to ask you to take the affirmative on that. There are doctrinal errors. And he said, sure, who am I going to debate? I said, well, I don't know. I have to start somewhere. So I started with you. And so then I wrote Dr. Sam Snyder in the Bible department at Bob Jones University and put the same thing to him. I said, you know, the pastors in the area would like to see, and I talked to numbers of them, all the pastors I could get hold of, and I said, you know, wouldn't it be good? And they all said, well, it would. It really would. And so I got in touch with Brother Snyder, and I said, the pastors in the area would like to see a good, lively debate, and the proposition would be there are doctrinal errors in the critical text, and we would like for you to rebut that. And the reason for that is Dr. Snyder has widely published that there are no errors in the critical text. So I figured he'd jump on that like a rooster on a June bug. For some of you who don't, well, that's our dialect anyway. So he graciously refused. He wrote back and said he was honored, and I'm sure he was. And he said, and Brother Snyder, if you're listening, I appreciate you even answering me, but he said, what text? I mean, you don't say what text. And he listed a long list of texts. Well, you know, the critical texts. So, failing there, I tried Dr. Mark Minnick. I offered him the same thing. I said, the proposition would be there are doctrinal errors in the critical text, and I'd like for you to take the negative on that, the negative on that, and say that there aren't any errors in the critical text, doctrinal errors. So he wrote me back and said he just didn't want to participate in that, and gave me some nebulous, really critical text language rebuttals. You know, the critical text answers always go in a big circle and they never say anything. You ever notice that? So I asked my wife, not being a scholar, I said, does that mean yes or no? She looked at it and said, I believe that's a definite no. I said, well, all right. So failing there, I said, well, a Bible conference. And so I asked Dr. Wade to have the courage to hold a Bible conference there on that afternoon and deal with the subject. And if he would, I suggested we put two chairs on there and put Snyder on one and Minnick on the other and just read some things that each one of them had said. And Dr. Jane Seitler was going to moderate the debate, and they didn't trust him. They said, Dr. Snyder said, and to have Dr. Seitler moderate it would be the same thing as having Dr. Waite moderate it. So I said, we'll put the chairs there, and we'll just let them, their own words in writing, answer for them. But Dr. Waite said, well, that might be pushing it a little too far. So he says, well, we'll try it another way if it's all right with you. And so what I'm saying to you, We've heard several things about the critical text issues and the doctrinal changes. We've heard the number of doctrinal changes and so forth. But Dr. Wade has not had a long period of time just to deal with this is what's said, this is what the text really says. This is where the text is changed, this is what this person says, that person says, this person says, that person says. And so I've asked him to do that, and he graciously agreed to do it. He's busy, and I know he's tired, and I know they get war weary, but they've agreed to come. Well, all that said, I hope you'll come and let others know, and I believe you'll enjoy it. I know it will be informative, and you come prayerfully. We're interested in the people finding out the truth that there are doctrinal errors in this serious doctrinal errors in this critical text. Well, that being said, I want to bring you just a brief message, and actually, if you get right down to it, I just want to bring you, at the close of this, I just want to bring you a challenging word. You know, one of the things wrong with the church today is the army of the Lord. It's the bride of Christ, but it's the army of the Lord. Stand up for Jesus. But I want to tell you a little secret about the church. She's Miss Roll Call. Now, we're supposed to have been mustered, and we're supposed to have come together, and we're supposed to have met the challenge, and so many of our folks are comfortable and want to be uninvolved. And unfortunately, and I'm not being unkind now. I want you to understand that. I'm not being unkind. But we need to be a challenged people during these, I believe, last days. And I want to speak to the Dean Bergen Society just briefly here in the next few minutes, very short minutes, with a challenge that I hope will ring in your ears, and I hope will grip your heart. Of some real things we can do, tangible things that we can do to help make a difference in this text issue. If you wouldn't mind standing with me, I want to read a couple of verses with you. Exodus chapter 20, and I'll just read those for you. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, unless you want to turn to it. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Now, Father, we pray your blessings upon the word. And, Lord, if it would please you, I pray that you'd use me to speak a word that would be a blessing and a help and a challenge and a spark, Lord, that would be ignited, that would make a difference in this world for you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you so much. Now, in this passage in the Bible I just read, we find a clear illustration and definition of inspiration of the Bible. God spake all these words. What more do you need than that? No need to bandy about it. God spake it. And that settles the issue. But when the Bible says that God spake all those words, he did not leave any room at all for the use of dynamic equivalency, nor did he give permission to add, remove, or change, as we've heard already today. But not only did he not give any permission for adding or removing or changing words, neither did he give permission for the changing of tenses, case, number, mood, gender, person, voice, jot, tittles, or any other aspect of Scripture. The thousands of choices and that are being found around the world today in Bible versions, and they're getting up into that. The thousands of changes that go along with all that in the critical text are resulting efforts of the teaching popularized by liberal apostate teachers and pastors. And unfortunately, Word of God has now been replaced in a large number of formerly staunch received text churches and fundamental schools and seminaries. And the strong TR churches have been led into error by liberal apostate teachers and preachers, and the churches have been sold a bill of goods by a professional group who have more intellectual pride than they have spirituality, and they have led their churches into error. Following along on the heels of their apostate idols. Excuse me, I think the word has been popularized now, icon. And here they go, all in a line like a gang of little ducks. Quack, quack, quack. Where are the pastors who can read God's Word for themselves, get on their knees before God and pray, get a word from God, go before a people who desperately want to hear a word from God, and just stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord."
Amen.
But you can't do that anymore. You'll hurt Dr. So-and-so, who was your teacher. You'll get a phone call. I got a phone call a week before last. "Did you write this?" "What?" And it was delineated to me. I said, "No, Lord, I didn't write it, but I wish God I had." "Oh, that's good." And the question was asked me, "Well, what is your church's position on the text issue?" I said, "Well, we have absolutely no use for the critical text, nor do we have any use for teachers who would promote them. Neither do we think churches who've been led down that path are wise. We are received text. We stand by it. We preach it. We go soul winning based upon it. We give tracts out that are written using it. And we lead people to buy and use the King James Bible." That's who we are. But so completely have apostate teachers and pastors of formerly Texas Receptive schools and churches, they've taken them over by deceitful means, and that any strong declarative statement supporting the TR always sees the apostate scholars and liberal pastors leap to their feet and say, "What is the true text?" Well, in the words of some of them, in the part of the country where I'm from, here it is right here. Right here. That's the true preserved Word of God. I'm so glad those translators were able to translate it into English. Now, I've taken Greek, and I can fish around through it. And I've taken Hebrew, and I know what melek means. But I have to be honest with you. I'm so thankful to God that God blessed us with a good text. Don't you wish every people, group, and language in the world, this dear lady sitting back here, wanting it in French, passion of her heart. Oh, you just don't know how many people around the world crying for the word that they can depend upon is the Word of God. Oh, yes. And here we find these who have led churches and schools off into error by deceitful means. And I mean deceitful. I heard this. I live in an area that's consumed with education. And I attended most of them. I graduated from Greenville Technical College. I graduated from North Greenville University. I attended Furman University until the last semester of my senior year, and then they put a art exhibit in the foyer of 200 black and white 8x10 pictures of a nude woman. Called it art. They called it art because they couldn't spell pornography. Now, I was fair. I went to the president and I talked with him about it, and he said, "Well, we've looked it over and we think it's We think it's all right. I think it was a Cuban cigar he was smoking. And so I resigned, I dropped out, and in my last semester of my senior year, went to Charleston Southern University and had to take an entire year all over again. And so I know something about them. And then I went and graduated from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. I know Southern Baptist schools. They're given to the critical text. And they've been led down a garden path, and so have many other schools. But when these scholars and liberals holler, "What is the true text?" These are they Paul is referring to in 2 Timothy 3:7 and 8 when he writes, "Ever learning and never able to come to the truth. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth." They do resist the truth. "Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Of these apostates," Jude said, "these are raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." And I want you to understand that many of these people I'm referring to, I care deeply for. If my father were a professor in a critical text school, I would love him and say to him, "Dad, you're so horribly, terribly wrong. I cannot believe that you would take this position. I'd reason with him. I'd do everything I could. Same as I have with these." But there's no dealing with them. They do not want to hear the truth. They do not want the truth. Intellectual pride. They want to build a name for themselves. They want to be known as the greatest of the great. They want to climb the ladder. I don't know all the reasons, but I know some of those are the reasons. And the church has the accurately preserved words of God and has had them in the Hebrew Masoretic text, and then in the New Testament since the days of the apostles. For 1,800 years, the church treasured the Bible at the cost of her blood. Now, you tell me, how many of those Gnostics, to their blood, have done anything with those texts? All they've done is taken the blood of those of the church who loved and kept and treasured their Bible. I'm just being honest. You know, we need to have our eyes open. We have a tremendous task before us, Dean Bergen Society. We need to warn people about those who are being used by Satan to steal the words of God from the generations to come. You don't think they're ever going to put these words back, do you? When the King James Bible stops being printed because its popularity wanes, do you know if it wasn't for some of these school and church printing companies who are printing the King James, do you know it would already be on its way out long ago? We need to warn people who the problem really is. And you know, the bad thing about it is, not very many people want to say who the problem really falls at the feet of. I was in police work for many years. I'd go out and hear some murdered person lying in the street, and I'd catch someone standing there just grief-stricken and awestruck, and I'd say, "Do you know what happened here?" "Yes." "What happened?" "I don't want to say." "Do you know who did this?" "Yes." "Who did this?" "I'm afraid to say." You know, I got an email last year from a dear brother in Australia, and he said, "I just want to thank you for what you said at the Dean Bergen Society meeting about who the problem was." He said, I never knew who the problem was. He didn't realize it was coming from the colleges and schools that people who are Christians are supporting, thinking that they are standing by what they expect them to be standing by, and they give them double talk and shuffle around we always use the King James. The chapel service is always in King James. We love the King James, and the people go away satisfied thinking that's all right. Go sit in a classroom occasionally. Take your time. Go to a classroom. Say, I'd like to visit one of the classrooms. I want to give you, how long have I got? 4 minutes? Okay, I'll hurry. How God's Word is threatened. Threatened by every critical text supporting teacher and every Christian education, Sunday school, kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, university, and seminary. Every one of them is a threat. Every Bible school, every college, every university, every seminary that is tolerant of critical text teachers is fallen or failing. For we who are here and those who are listening, buying books, greeting cards, Bible versions, and publications which support the critical text is a threat. Don't send a birthday card that has NIV or New King James Version. Write it on a piece of notebook paper and write it and say, this is the best I can do. Remaining a member of a church that's tolerant or uses critical text version aids the critical text effort. But I love my church. I love my church too. But if it went critical text, I'd go in the highway. How can we support God's Word? We can support only ministries that support the received text. We can only support ministries and schools that are TR, and I heard it in this conference, and it is the truth. If you're wanting to support a school that has received text, you just need to understand at least 90% or maybe 95% of them are critical text. If they are accredited, it's more than likely that they are critical text. Brother Don Jackman's written an excellent book, extensively researched, Why the Fundamental Schools Go Apostate, and in it Dr. Jasmine shows how schools used to be strongly TR and are drawn into being critical text schools. These schools usually deny their critical text because they know their financial support will suffer. So they lie. I'm sorry. You can call it mislead if you want to, but lying's easier to spell. And by reading Dr. Jasmine's book, one gains insight, and folk, we need insight. If you're supporting some of these schools, one of the key elements in a school's textual position can be found on page 222 of Dr. Jasmine's book. Schools affiliated with the Coalition for the Defense of Scriptures are critical text schools. They are in a critical text fellowship. Their efforts are to displace the King James Bible in alphabetical order. Bob Jones University, Calvary Baptist Theological Seminary, Central Theological Seminary, Clearwater Christian College, Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary, Faith Baptist College and Seminary, International Baptist College, Northland Baptist College, Pillsbury Baptist College. I understand they are either or have closed their doors. Temple Baptist Seminary, and from my own personal experience, Southern Baptist schools and colleges and seminaries, how can we stand against them? Give your money, and God bless you for giving money. Give your money only where it supports Textus Receptus work. And if you can't find a college or a seminary or something and you want to support something, let me suggest something to you folks. One of the reasons the Dean Bergen Society hasn't been known very well around the world is money. You send it here, I'll assure you we'll stand by the text that you expect us to stand by, and we'll have the money to do a great deal more than we've been able to do in the past. Don't give your money to the enemy, and that's what they are. I'm on this side. They're on that side. We're adversaries at the very least. And I can love them and wallow in the mud with them if they want to, but we just absolutely need to stand our ground. And may God bless you and help you to do it.